Hey there, everybody, and welcome. This is Tevo Creative Leadership. We're out of doors, out where the real people are, the real realm, the barista fellowship realm, the Christian realm, where you meet people and they're sort of acting themselves. They're acting the right way, respectful. Basically, in most of society, it's pretty respectful. So we're asking today, because I'm teaching defragging the book of Acts, the wells, the realms of the Holy Spirit in modern day Christianity. We're really for it, really for all the good things, all the wonderful people, all the wonderful teachings and practices, as well as those that are respectful, that really know the Holy Spirit and the worship and the Bible. You got to have all three. You got to know the Lord. You got to know real people. You got to know yourself. You got to know the Bible, and you got to know the Holy Spirit. First of all, God and the Holy Spirit, and then He can help us with the rest of all the people, including yourself. So we're teaching to defrag, really addressing big book of Acts and making it not under the law, the old-timey law. If you're going to have what the law is in modern-day Christianity to basically help us with our discernment teaching, it's going to say, it reminds me of critical equals Levitical. The old-timey law, the Torah, was there in the modern, for the Jews, you know, in the Old Testament, and they had lots of rules. That was their schoolmaster. That's what it says to teach people about God and also respect and keep people conforming to an orderly society. Now, in the new days, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2 says that when the new day came, the church, first church, it says the old days, Hebrews 1, God used to speak through the prophets in diverse manners. Remember the Elijah, Elisha, Jeremiah, Obadiah, more dramatic, I guess you could think more finger-pointing, more craggy. And a lot of people back then, no one could invite Jesus the Messiah into their heart. So they didn't have that extra help of the Holy Spirit for discipline, self-government. So God used different things like the law, the Ten Commandments, the teaching, the keeping of the Sabbath, the rules that were very many, many in the book of Leviticus. The first five books alone are enormous. And God knew that nobody could keep them all, but through the years, when it was time and right for Jesus Christ to come, He fulfilled every jot, every tittle of the law, so we don't have to. He took the pain of death, of the curse upon Himself, including healing and His stripes for us, the blood, His atonement for our sin nature to overcome and help us. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He gives us the fruits of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22, 23, Paul writes about love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, meekness, self-control, and all these things. There is no law about that. So they live, once we ask Jesus into our heart and accept Him as our Savior, He gives us that free deposit of the book of Acts, which is really the fruits of the Spirit. And then out of that later, through maturing, studying, asking for it, being revealed to, wanting to know more, God's call, you can get into the gifts of the Spirit. Well, I deal with all of that. So then you find that if you're in a modern day Christianity, we have a lot of television affected, passed down tradition, both in America, the oral law, both in America, the traditional law mixed in with people's teaching, both good, bad, and even evil. And then we have dogma, and we have a religious spirit in times. That's been my nightmare of discovery. So let's look at Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. The Old Testament says that back in the day, God only spoke through a certain group of people, His people to the Hebrews, which were the prophets that I named, the famous prophets we'd heard about. However, in the New Testament, Hebrews 1, 2 says, but in these days God speaks to us through His Son, who is the oracle office Himself, the Messiah, Christ, Jesus, Emmanuel, God is with us. We got to teach on this, because when you look at the office prophet today, who is a prophet, who isn't? What is the what does the word prophecy mean to so many people? What are all these books about prophecy? Then you're going to say, well, do they really resemble Christ when He moved about the earth in ministry in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John with the fruit of real respect, of relationship, respect for all faiths, all colors, His mother Mary, all women, all men? Was He a heightened Roman patrician? Did He command everyone to bow and scrape in His presence? Did He set up hierarchy? Was he a legalist about going to fellowship in Hebrews 10:25? Hebrews 10:25 is the new custom we have. Paul writes about in Hebrews 10:25. It says, "Don't forsake fellowshipping with the saints, as some have," and that's a good precept. That's a good teaching, a good command, but is not in legalism, because Jesus fulfilled the law. If it's used to talk to people and talk down to people, talk about people because they're not covered in a church under somebody, which is the huge teaching in grassroots Book of Acts right now, country law, then you can tell it's the law because it's critical of people. It accuses people of not doing something, not being a goody two-shoes like them. I'm not minimizing the command, no, not at all, but I'm just saying let's relieve the people of the legalism of being watched and micromanaged and accused, because the law doesn't say you better not or you're going to burn in hell, which is the tone in which this Phariseeism is taught many times. So we got to say, if Jesus Christ were today, would he do that? No. Would he resemble who we think he really is, or would he not? I don't think we'd recognize him, and he certainly wouldn't recognize us, his church, the Christians, for what we're doing. It's too untoward. It's too far left field, far right field, whatever it is. But it's also got the remnant, the core, which is still great, you know, in the Lord. Hebrews 1:1-2 says that, you know, if it's going to say it's a prophet, he or she, they, it, it's going to represent the prophet that hears the word of the Lord for the nation, the body of Christ, for themselves, for the group, then it's got to resemble the character and nature of the risen Christ. It's got to have the goal that Jesus would have, that it's not about us, it's not about my turf, about my gift, it's not about me, myself, and my for, or my kind, or my style, it's not about me and my money, it's about the Lord and getting people prepared for the kingdom of God when God comes again, and or else they die and go to heaven and be with them and collect their eternal reward, or they miss it and they either go the opposite place, or they get to there and they make it into heaven but they don't get any reward because they did it the wrong way. Now, I'm not accusing, I'm just assessing and really drumming up new thought, provoking thought to stir it up, because people are indifferent. A lot of these king and queen type ministries are really indifferent. And the Lord found, you know, I studied when he sent me around, that's what I discovered in the last 15 years or so, was really a lot of this, more than I'd ever imagined. At the same time, the world is erupting in chaos. A cult is everywhere. It's a nightmare. And then you find people who don't want to go to church, and I understand it because we're with them. But we go fellowship, but not legalistically. I like to go. I'm trying to get this movement, which is cross-body unity, to revoke new thought in ministry, to say, make it a movement that says we get to go to church. That's me. I get to go to church. I always like going to church until I started getting evil eye, false doctrine. I started getting hunted down by the witch watchers, the false teaching that has gone occult, that is reprobate, that is not, that dismisses people by look, type, vibe, race, gender. That type of thing provoked me to be like this, really. When you look up the word reprove, it is in the Bible. This is a reprover, corrector, as well as a admonisher, but as an encouragement also to the good people that are not doing this. When I looked up the Google search, the word reprove in Texas about 2010, at the time, I pulled up Merriam-Webster's online dictionary, and it said one of the definitions of reprove can mean to tick off people. So I thought, well, I like that one. The reason I had first gone to that desperate measure to define and defend myself as a 2 Timothy 3:16-17 person who's an encourager, who is called to teach the Bible and also doctrine, admonish, reprove, and correct, but also have fun and great joy and liveliness, you know, and enjoy my life, relax, is because I'd stumbled at that time in the Texas fields, the religious fields of the area. I just stumbled upon sweet baby Jesus kinds who, if they did something to take your stuff, like the enemy themselves if they took your stuff as a fellow Christian office, prophet, pastor, and or teacher, and you are not some fool, but a newbie out there, you know, I'm a mature minister, but a new kid out there. You think, wow, what have I stumbled on? And the Lord had said, Tavo, if you see something when I've sent you around the body of Christ to study since age 24, and you see something repeatedly three times or more, oh, look, there's an eagle flying. I don't know if you can see it. There's our symbol, or a hawk, whatever you want to call this. So I looked at that. I found that I would three different times by what I would call junior ministers who actually were my age or younger, but also said they were the head pastor at the time or a prophet at the time. Then that was my discovery. These were not the top ranking ones, but when you're out in the field, you take who you get. You know, you're looking for neighbors in the ministry. So when he found out they couldn't tell the difference between good and evil, and they would take things, literally, physical property of the ministry, to a newbie, a stranger, one who is grieving the loss of their only mate in their life, and you realize, well, you know, my Bible says that if somebody does something wrong in the body of Christ, you're a good neighbor by making an appointment to go correct these people, and you confront them and ask for your property back. And that's when I found the rife doctrine, misinterpretation of Scripture, based on, I am the righteousness of God. I can do no wrong. And when I tried to confront, they would hide. So I went over there to the next one up in their leadership management. And they said, they wrote back and said, oh, we're too busy. Forgive them. And it was like, you're mean. You're not you need to forgive them. You're not acting sweet like baby Jesus. And I went, whoa, that's good old boyism in the grassroots. So that's provoked me to go back and say, am I wrong? What is right and wrong in that? Who's really in the doctrine? And I studied, and then I realized these people have never been taught about being corrected and or reproved, which is most of tongue-talking out there today, especially in television ministry affected down in the grassroots, even up higher. So with that, bygones is bygones, but if I wouldn't run into it every so often, especially witch-watching and occult, which is the nightmare of all the last 15 years, the shocking discovery of word-cursing fellow Christians, calling them evil witches and warlocks and all this horrible stuff, it's like, and misogyny, if I hadn't have discovered that repeatedly around the United States, that's affecting the character of Christ, the character of Christ, the flavor, the safety of going to fellowship with the saints, which people want to do, then I would be quiet. But it doesn't go away. That's why I'm mentioning it in the book of Acts. Our ministry is crossbody unity. I'm not a charismatic. I'm not a colonial. I'm not a we-centric, we-are-the-world territorial turf protector. No, not at all. I'm not a cult member or a cult follower. I'm a Jesus follower. So we're for all people, but not for poor me legalism that takes advantage of using Jesus' safe name to bring in people by advertising we are a fellowship, a church. Then they take the money to get funded, but they only want a few kinds. The disrespecter of persons is rife in these movements. And I've lived through it, Luke eyewitness, to finally figure it out and address it. It is not comfortable. So as a result, along the way, yes, there is a Hebrews 10:25 command, please do not fellowship with the saints, as some have, which is Paul. But Paul himself must have seen these days, these last days, as a prophet. Because he said in the last days, 2 Timothy 3:1-5, 1 Timothy 6:5, he said in the last days perilous times will come, people will be lovers of themselves, from such turn away. And he pictures, I didn't know it'd be ministry, Christian ministry that is mean, warped, psychic, lost its way, it is now toxic and dysfunctional. And let me say this, this is reproving. It is stirring it up to provoke thought and doctrinal reform. We are doctrinal reformers, and we don't need to be loved. We don't need to be liked by this crowd. I love them. I forgive them. If this were not a doctrine, a spirit, a demonic spirit of psychic occult and witchcraft in American churches today, these movements, I would be quiet. It'd be easier on me. But these are saying they're false advertising, and they're making it their turf, not God's turf. And I'm on God's turf. My ministry is the crossbody of Christ unity, Ephesians 4 community. That's why we're stirring it up. Now, when I teach ministry, I teach it very calmly and respectfully. I minister to those not with dogma, not with character assassination, but with confronting doctrines, true and false. But I don't call people witches. I don't target people and pray against people, put their name on any kind of witch list. Hey, after I found out that mine could be on some of these that are like that, but they've never talked to me. They've never admonished me. They've never made an appointment to Matthew 18:15, confront me lovingly, respectfully, meekly, Galatians 6:1. I watch because I notice what they do. It just helps me reprove better to know what the doctrines they are missing and leaving out Bible scripture, plus they're under the law. Now, am I for the human being that does this? Of course, males and females, black, white, or brown. Usually they're only white that have ever done it to me that I know of. But that is their choice to do it. I don't have to be under their ministry. I'm not. I never was. I was visiting. I'm their friend as a cross-buddy community member, a teammate in the body of Christ. I'm a collaborator. And I'm an instigator of new thought. But not a troublemaker, not at all. I never pray against, I never gossip, I never allow people to talk against people in my presence. And I'm not a witch, because a witch controls, and I'm certainly not a controller. A witch uses false authority. I certainly am not doing that, but I know who does, and they do it. These are doing it now. They're doing witchcraft under the name of Jesus Christ following. Craft is artful. Craft darts and hides. Craft is the same as 1 Samuel 15:23, rebellion. It's rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness, not easily entreated, not respectful, not willing to negotiate, not loving. And stubbornness is as the sin of iniquity and idolatry. So we're just pointing this out for whomever. Now, Paul is so smart. God is so amazing. Had I not been to Dallas, had I not been through a time of understanding what all these people must be going through these days, just trying to go to church, some of these churches, by the millions, I would never have done dysfunctional, toxic, psychic ministry until now. All right, the reason I can do it, God chose me because I could forgive them. I could, I guess, understand it, learn from it, get stronger, not mean. But the idea is I didn't want to have to think like this, but God allowed this for his grace right now to warn these people and instruct many. So along the way, when I found it wasn't just polite, oh, let's say, hi, welcome, stranger, welcome, new visitor, hi, Tevo, it was like, I guess sin in the camp, spying me down, reading my mail, reading my mind, divining me. It was quite the upheaval of my own pictured of godly representation of ministry in the Holy Spirit moves. And I'm called to the Holy Spirit. I move in the gifts, ironically, if I'd been allowed, you know, if it had been safe. But that's your choice. So, of course, Paul gives a command that's not legalistic. Do fellowship with the saints. Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake it. But nowadays, I advise you better be really careful that you don't let yourself into toxic bathwaters that affect your mind, give you oppression, depression, talk about you, pray against you, that are using false authority witchcraft. I'd be very careful now where I go. Secondly, I would say, now, Paul also gives, if you're surrounded, if you got a bunch of people, because I used to live in rural, I've mostly called cosmopolitan metroplex, which I'm happier, safer in. But when I was in the rural part of my, in the rural part of ministry, a small, you know, it's like not a cosmopolitan feel, I realized how people watch and micro watch everybody mind your business. And that is how rumors start. That's how I first got clued to whelp and false teaching and ministry that prays against and talebearers. And that was a shock because I was raised under a pastor, healthy authority, more healthy than any of this. But we got to address it because many people are after the book of Acts, which we need them to be. God loves the Holy Spirit, and we don't want Jesus' name defiled and people defiled, spoken against, and word cursed by false witchcraft. No, we don't. So, Paul warns at the same time he says in one book, Hebrews 10:25, don't forsake fellowshipping. Now I add my little PS, but make sure you're careful where and who you're around because it soaks in your soul. I would say if you can't find one, ask God to help you get online or help you develop one in your area or find another place, right? Or just wait until he shows you or start your own, all right? But Paul also knew perilous times would come, and we're in perilous times. We need this balance to this teaching because of what's going on, especially in prophetic groups many times. We're trying to teach prophetic without being pathetic and dysfunctional right now, or legalism. So Paul says, back then, he said, 2 Timothy 3 is a balance to toxic false teaching and unsafe, unhallowed Christ-following fellowships. Paul said in the last days, perilous times would come even in ministry. 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, they'd be lovers of themselves. That could be pastors or ministers or elders or you or me. God forbid. I mean, God forbid for all of us. But you read that giant list and then see if anything speaks to you about where you go now. Now, let me say this. I know what many, I am a pastor. I've been around. I've been mature before this time. I was much more calm because I didn't know how dramatic, how bad it is right now and the world going to, you know, Hades. And many people have never seen a Christian, much less a prophet. They don't know the Holy Spirit from psychic because the pastors don't. A lot of these don't. So I thought, you know, you have to judge your own heart before, so that you're not offended if you do leave. Paul says, command from such turn away. The two types of friendly fire fellowship that are toxic, dysfunctional, one is materialistic, the other is treacherous, traitorous, backbiting Judas. Okay. You may be blasphemous, using God's name in vain, saying it's a church when it's really a cult. So 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, and 1 Timothy 6:5, if they say you're not blessed because you don't have money, it says from such turn away, and we have. So therefore, we can say you study those and hear God, but let me say this. Here is the criteria if you are to follow Paul, and he says get out, flee, from such turn away. We have to decide, are you offended? Is it your fault? Have you done your best? Have you forgiven them? Have you prayed for them, stood in the gap? Have you tried to confront them? And if all that is true and they still are not repentant or not right, get out, because it will affect you. It'll oppress you. It could depress you. It could, the gossip could cause you to be blackballed. It could affect your teenagers, your children, warp them, because it's false religion. It's a spirit of witchcraft. It really is. So this is why we're being this candid, this focused on it, because it's got to have a breakthrough. God is not going to allow this kind of thing, the occult, to be misrepresenting and blaspheming his name in this move we're in right now. There is a book of Acts time, God forbid, for any of these, but I think a lot of it is just misunderstanding, false teaching. They were brought up that way. They've never repented. They never knew any difference. So we're now teaching them difference between prophecy and psychic. If they'd like to chat with me, I can help them make adjustments. You know, a lot of people have great, healthy, amazing parts of their ministry. But if the part is dark, undermining, sabotaging people, witchcraft, it is wrong to stay there. It is unsafe. It is occult. And it is blaspheming the Holy Spirit in a way, misrepresenting it is anti the cause of Christ, because it's really for them to get their money in, for them to look good and smell sweet with their famous gift or not. It is your choice, though. One thing I did, I know how people think. I've been in ministry for decades and decades, all my life, really all my life. So I know the grassroots will say, you know what, she's offended. You know, the brothers will say, she's a false prophet, he's a false prophet, he's a witch. Have you ever talked to me? Ever made a Matthew 18 appointment? Have you officially ever chatted with me, got to know me, loved me enough, respected me enough to sit with me and pick my brain? Have you ever meekly Galatians 6:1 confronted me if you think I'm wrong, leader? No, never in my life, nobody. So I tried. When I tried, I was rebuffed. But, you know, that's another story. This is how it goes, though, in ornery, sabotaging, strict, back under the law. I hate to say it. What is it? Hillbilly descendants? I don't know. Something like that. I'm stirring it up on purpose. So Jesus Christ had three places in his Matthew book where he rebuked the Pharisees who were in false teaching openly. He was not shy. He didn't gossip about them. He loved them enough to shock them, to stir up their thought, and to warn the people. Matthew 7:21-23 comes to mind. It says, many of you who flow in the book of Acts, it looks like, many of you in Matthew 7:21-23 will say, Lord, Lord, didn't I prophesy in your name? Didn't I write books in your name? Didn't I look good and move in the gifts in your name? Didn't I do a lot of signs and wonders and wonder-working power in your name, Lord? And the Lord will say, out with you, I never knew you, you who work lawlessness. When you look up lawlessness, it means iniquity. It means Strong's Bible Concordance. You who work false authority. If you're using praying against targeting people, it's false authority. If you're avoiding confronting and manipulating and posturing, praying against or targeting people, getting them out of there, pulling out the wool over their eyes, whatever it is, there's a lot of things that are false authority. That's just part of it. Mesmerizing, using charisma, false authority. All right, all these things. Psychic powers, false authority. Spectral evidence to read their vibes, like the Salem witch trials. Google that, spectral evidence. That's false authority. All right. So Jesus himself said that Christ warned these people, could be famous, could be not famous, trying to be famous. He said, many of you, think how many, that was back then. Think how through the ages, many could mean on the last day when it's too late. Many will say, Book of Acts people, he looks like he's pointing right at. Many of you will say, but Lord, didn't I prophesy? Didn't I move in signs and wonders and in your name, Lord? Pray for healing in your name. And the Lord will say, out with you, I never knew you, you who were false authority. Next, Jesus Christ mints no words in public in Matthew 23, the whole red letter chapter, to the good old Pharisees out on the hillside in front of all the multitudes and his people. Third, Matthew 21:12-13, I believe it is, when Jesus Christ strode into the temple, when the Lord told him to, the Father, and he turned over the temple money changers, well-ordered tables, caused a prophetic shock and awe to get their attention because they were slumbering. However, nowadays, if Jesus did that, he came on earth and did that again and walked into the Pharisee temple, the righteous temple, they just dismiss him. They've had a lot of false teaching. They're in denial. They just say, you know, pop psychology, oh, you know, Jesus has got issues. He's got a lot of baggage. Just pay no attention, but maybe you should sign him up for the health fix and fast class, 4-week fast class at our temple. The other would say, don't pay any mind to Jesus. He's offended. He's just jealous of us because we've made it big. A lot of people would have a lot to say about Christ, and I've had lots of years discovering this and thinking it out really well. The Whelp and Whelm Book of Acts representation. Not fault-finding to people, but shocked at fruit. It's the fruit discovery, the weird fruit. So I can go now because I've been a visitor for 40 some years and I enjoy my life. I can say, man, I can go in there and take off where I go fellowship now. They know the Holy Spirit. They know the Word of God. But I can go in there and know I'm not being minimized for showing up as a white female of a certain look or age or whatever. I'm not feeling secondhand gender because they're not misogynist. I can tell I'm not being read, are you a witch? If they do, they're too smart to let me know. But I'm teaching on witchcraft because I think it is mostly in the churches that call people witches. If they call people witches and call them Jezebels all the time, they're looking for offense, then they have an issue, a real issue. It's a 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5, from such turn away, flag, red flag. It's also a flag of the signs of the, another flag is the scowls of false doctrine, the frowns that accompany a group that has false doctrine. Critical equals Levitical. That means they're back under the law from way back when somehow, if they have no joy, if they have no love, if they have no fear of the Lord, that's a big sign right there. And these do not. The ones I'm mentioning have no fear of the Lord. They are very bold and they're very white. Not all of them are white. Well, the ones I've met are basically also white, but not all white people are like that. A lot of white people that are not in false teaching are wonderful and not biased. But there's something about this occult, psychic, wannabe group, big realm that's out there today calling itself the office. The office prophet. The office. The office apostle. The office. And that has been Levitical patriarchy, Levitical matriarchy, and shepherding, overseer shepherding. In my book, that's it. Now, when you go there, people want to look good, and they want to act good, and they want to be good, and they really are trying hard. But if they have a character issue, something in their hard drive they don't know about, they're not aware about, or maybe they're just not mature, then we need to help them by correcting it, bringing it out, and addressing it. But a lot of this is back under the law, and it could be back under famous prophet, famous saint so-and-so who taught them when they were younger and they never got, you know, had much deep training in their life because they came in without a lot of background, which is nobody's fault, not accusing, but we're assessing what in the world is the reason for all this taking on so big. So my biggest thing is if you go to a mega of certain kinds, tongue-talking, to be watchful more than ever for the fruit of how they treat the visitor, how they assess you, and to see, is it occult or not? Is it staged or not? Is it psychic warfare, needless, unfamily or not? That's the big thing. Occult is giant. Occult is giant. And did it come in with systems, famous systems, fast-paced? What? Is it too eager? Is it too, I don't know. There, I can't answer it all, but it is dysfunctional. That's all I know. It is dysfunctional. So we're submitting this as a Selah, a hopeful Selah. You know, I really am hopeful more than ever because I hear the Lord that this is just something that needs to be removed. This toxic misrepresentation, calculating form of ministry is out. It needs to be out. I've been shown trees when I pulled up to film different places. I don't know if I see one now, but I've been pulled up to trees. And when I pulled up at a certain place, God told me to go, there would be this little tree. And the first tree had the leaves falling off. There were still a few leaves falling off. This was the movement I'm talking about, the witch watching movement that make a big deal about this. I saw some green at one point. I saw a lot of old dead leaves. A lot of leaves were missing, and there was still a root attached to the earth that was viable and could be green in the harvest. The second one I got, the second tree I saw, though, was worse. There was no leaves on the tree. It was completely barren, and the word of the Lord came. I put it on a TikTok, and the word of the Lord was this. It was like, Why dare so many, all these Christians accuse non-believers, feel that they are causing America or anybody's decline? Why are they blaming and finger point when the church is about dead here in America in many places? Why does the people who finger point and say, oh, yeah, America's going into decline. Yeah, we know it. But why? Is it the other faiths? No. What about the church? What about the church? What is its top priority? Get itself known. Is it to get itself known? Is it ambition? Is it pride? Is it power? Is it turf? I believe it is. Celebrity has brought in the backwash of all this. It has taken, put fancy lighting, makeup on, cleaned it up, and is put on a show in too many places. Now, listen, I am on media, and I have purposely toned it really low down for many reasons for years, because I was frankly disgusted at the toxic dysfunction of Dallas ministry that's all perfect looking back then. So I just figured, you know, God uses the foolish things of the world to confound the worldly wise, and I'm just willing to be one of the foolish things that he wants, I'm going to see if they'll listen, because it's the truth, it is strong. I'm going to say, can they discern correctly when somebody's not famous and pretty like them? I don't know. That's their choice. So I'm not mad, but I also know that once I get going, and I've really closed off this era now of that discovery, I can teach on it, but we do want to teach and train people not to do that, and we want to bring it more forward in a more professional, upscale manner, which is right. But we're really watching out against, we're not going to be in celebrity. We're not inviting this to be celebrity. That is a warring spirit against the normal people of the day. It is a warring, biased spirit, the way it's portrayed in the grassroots, in the congregations. They don't know it. People don't know it. It is a controlling spirit. It gets people following the famous eye, the famous name. I'm for Apollos. Oh, no, I'm for brother so-and-so. I'm for bishop so-and-so. And the people get into a cult-like, well-meaning, well-trained, advantageous representation. But then they get hooked on themselves. They get hooked on, oh, we got to be just like him. We got to be just like him. The other people just like her. We don't like them. And that division happens. So we're speaking against division. This could be Caucasian, could be African, could be any nation, Hispanic or Asian. It could be anybody. But the ones I've dealt with that have been my toxic nightmare, the most dysfunctional group I have ever seen in my whole born days, have been my own skin color. And I think we need to really work on ourselves, how we represent our own self, how we represent Jesus Christ, who is not Caucasian and not a colonial, definitely not a slave owner. He was an humbled Jew from the Middle East. He was Middle Eastern savior. And his biggest nightmare were the LP of his day, the Levitical patriarchs, who were the Pharisees' system. That was the one who brought him down, really was. Paul himself, and I got to finish, Paul himself used to be, before he got saved and set free, he was a MELP, Middle Eastern Levitical Patriarch. He knew every jot, every tittle of every law, every practice, and he got on his high horse and he murdered people because of it, the Christians. This is how LP has done with this movement right here, really has. It has not been forthright. It has not been up front. It has only been far off psychic occult witch watching in my knowledge. So we are not moved by it, but I got a new move out of this, how to keep the good parts of those teachings. Many people are sincere, and then remove the fragmented demonic law. The fragmented and demonic, we want it out. I'm calling it super despookifying the spirit of prophecy, basically, crossed by the unity. I have a new website that's going to sort of try to get together all I do and say and, you know, make it one point that you can look at, and then all the teaching comes out of different links through that site. It's tevocreativeleadership.com. But we're trying to make it easier on people, because I know I had a lot of toxic, weird stuff that kept this ministry from progressing, but it drew me really closer to the Lord and more joyful, whether it happens or not. Frankly, I've never felt so good as I do now. But I didn't know what was going on in the psychological, harmful bathwaters that look so beautiful and pretty and are presently now in the communities that say there are office prophets, oracle offices. But now we can pick and choose, and we are Galatians 1, 1 and 2, not sent out by any one group or any one person, just to be able to say these things without being micromanaged, controlled, censored. So that we want, you know, the Holy Spirit should be, the book of Acts is really supposed to be for all colors, all different styles, some quiet, some tame, some not, some moving in the Holy Spirit, some having the joy, some not. You know, you could have the Holy Spirit and just pat your foot and just light up on the inside and nobody would know it, but you still will know the Holy Spirit. The issue is to know and grow about the Holy Spirit and the Bible, but not be dogmatic, religious right, biased, pompous, or use false psychic controlling authority. So in Crossbody Unity, after 40 some years of this, you know, studying, then I realized, because I was in movements that repented for unity before Dallas, Christian ministry had a more traditional appearance back then in ministry, but it was quality. So now we're trying to say we understand some will never, never want to go to the full out Holy Spirit. So we're trying to, and I've got to close, my signal is fading, not personally, but just, oh look, there's a cloud the size of a man's hand, a person's hand, appearing for our ministry. Anyway, but we're for, CrossBody Unity tries to teach not compromise, not PC, not religious. But we're trying to make it sensible so you can hear God for yourself. Selahs, not dogmas. I can teach from liturgy up to falling out on the floor people, if they're in good character, if they really are here in the spirit, if they're true people, black, white, and brown, because I've had, the call is multicultural, very multicultural. So we're pro you going to a church, never going to a church, going to an African-American church, going to a Hispanic, Asian, going to a Catholic, going to a Baptist, going to any kind of tongue talker, Pentecostal or not, because you got to hear God, not me. You got to hear God for yourself, and we're letting you do that. That's part of this call, to let you hear God, whether you ever go to church or not, not to be flaky, not to be rude, but just to say we know how bad it is. It is that much dogma, that much dysfunction in America about this now, and TV has not helped it. Media and everyone with a shouting down, vocal, you know, our opinion. Also a camera, you know, that's just life in America today. It really is. You got to hear God for yourself, though. I'm soft-spoken unless I have to be, when I can rise up due to my experience with DFW big old boys. Other than that, I like them. You know, I like people. I like men that are people and women that are people. I like people. But if they are dysfunctional, I'll have to rise up. I'll have to stand up, because they will not discern the body of Christ correctly. They will be misogynist. They will be playboy, playtime. And therefore, I know you have to have, everybody has to have their sweet baby Jesus side. And you want to be sweet baby Jesus, turn the other cheek, walk the extra mile all the time, but you can't. You have to know when you have your drill sergeant, your business side, when the big boys, to deal with the big folk like that. And we love them. We can respect them. But we don't have to be under their law, under their domination, psychic control, or playtime. Misogyny, we don't need that. God is good. This is a Galatians 1, 1 and 2 as a prototype to help people understand it, not be flaky, to be wise with it. But also, we also say this is not to take anybody, make them under me. I am not under you. You are not over me. We are collaborating in the name of Jesus. I would also advise, which I'm going to do right now after I get off, is take communion. Take a lot of communion. plead the blood of Jesus over you and your family and your health and everything else, and study communion. I'll try to demonstrate it once, because I have had great experience with the supernatural power of communion by yourself, as well with the group you go to. God is good. His mercy endures. We lift up the LP, Levitical Patriarch Movements. We ask you to forgive them, Lord. We ask you to protect them, Lord, and deliver them. And I'm delivered too. God bless. Bye-bye.